There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, He is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, He's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive. There's a reason why our hearts can be courageous. There's a reason why the dead are made alive. There's a reason why we share His resurrection. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, He is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, He's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive. Praise the King, is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, He's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage with the grace of wrath of sword. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen Him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have built in Him an altar in the evening news and dance. I can read His righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Is marching Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul.
To you this morning. We've already had a great day and during the Sunday school hour, and now we're back. We've got a number of guests with us, and we appreciate your time with us. One of the ushers perhaps will come by if you're a new visitor and give you a visitor's packet. We welcome you to just take that with you. There's a little card in there that's got our phone number, got my phone number. If anything you need, any questions, you can give me a call. But other than that, if you take the other card and fill it out, it's a visitor's card, just drop it right in your pew where you are, or you can drop it in the offering plate on your way out the door. But we just want to say how much we appreciate you visiting with us here at Bible Baptist. We want you to find that this is your home. We already know it, okay? So we want you to know this is your new church home. And so figure that out right quick, okay? So also it's Veterans Day, or actually yesterday was Veterans Day, and actually a holiday that's been with us ever since the end of World War II, a time that we honor not just those that paid the ultimate price in the military, but also those that served at all. And so we have a number of men and women here in our church that have served. We have other families that have kids and grandkids that are serving in armed forces right now. And so we want to say how much we appreciate all of them and their standing for Oh Glory the way they do. Okay, so thank you on that. Let me mention for prayer, we need to lift up the King family. Shane King passed away yesterday after having battled with cancer for a good while now. So Shane was only 32. He has three children and a wonderful young wife, and so we need to be in prayer for that family, okay? All right. With that being said, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the singing. And I'll ask Gary Sackett, if you will, lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We'll just have a short video thanking our veterans.
If you cut into the heart of America, cut to its very core, do you know what you will find? Freedom, liberty, justice, democracy, defender against tyranny.
Of our country that was willing to stand for truth and to stand for liberty and to stand for freedom. They thought so much of it that they were willing to put their lives on the line. And God, we've got several men that are and women that are in our congregation today that fought for our country. And God, my prayer today is that you would bless them for their sacrifice. But God, I pray that we wouldn't lose sight today of the fact that you loved us and you wanted us to be free from the bonds of sin and Satan. And you went to an old rugged cross and you paid the penalty so that we could have freedom, so that we could be saved. God, our desire is there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you would open their hearts today. God, I pray that we would see them saved. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our services today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
I hear the Savior's name, thy strength indeed is flow. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus made it
God, and glory.
Let's have a word of prayer. Again, Father, we just rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, our Savior. Lord, we realize how great a God we serve. We recognize that we're so blessed and we're so privileged to not just be in the house of God this morning, but to be a part of the family of God, born-again Christians, children of the Father. We know that's all made possible through your Son, Jesus. We pray, Father, that you'll bless those that are come to visit us this morning, the return visitors. And I pray, God, that you would just touch their hearts and speak to them, Lord, and show them, Lord, that they found them a home, if it be your will, a church home. Father, for those that are hurting, going through difficult times, Lord, we just pray for your mercy and your strength to be extended to them. We think of Shane's family. Lord, we know we all saw this coming. We knew that he was going to pass soon, but still doesn't make it easier. It leaves a vacancy in so many people's lives. And I pray that you'll bless his sweet wife and his children, his parents and in-laws and all of them, Father. Father, we ask for the next few moments that we could be a blessing to you just simply by accomplishing your work in your house. We pray your Holy Spirit would have his way in leading us and teaching us. And Holy Spirit, if you will, I have complete control over my mind and my words. And we know, Lord God, that we can walk away from here better people and having honored you this morning. It's your day all day long, Father, and we rejoice in that. And we ask your blessings. We ask all of these things and these requests in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In our study of the end times over the last several weeks, we've gone many different directions, okay? And I hope that has not been too confusing for people. I haven't had a particular outline or a book that I'm going by or an internet series or anything like that I'm following, but just rather I'm letting the Lord lead me from week to week and then just putting together the messages that I think he's helped me put together. And so that means that I don't know how long this series will last. We're learning about the Lord's return. We might be in this series when he returns, okay? I don't know. We'll see. But something that you and you've heard me say many times throughout the course of this, and I will say again, is the fact that much of what we are learning about the end times, much of what we read in the Bible about those last days, involves the tribulation period. Most of it does, okay? But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prepared. In spite of the fact that we know we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation, that God's church is going to heaven to be with the Lord, okay, prior to that 7 years of hell. But the last days that the Bible speaks of, to a great degree, involves days, years, perhaps decades that are prior to that that tribulation period beginning, okay? So the climate of the tribulation is going to be felt before the tribulation itself arrives. Let me illustrate you this that point for a moment. If the weatherman tells us that Tuesday afternoon a great winter storm is going to hit our region, and then he gives us details of what that storm is going to be like, he tells us we can expect temperatures in the single digits, high winds, freezing rain, followed by several inches of snow. And you and I have all seen it enough times to know that prior to the arrival of that Arctic blast, maybe several hours prior, the wind will shift coming out of the north, temperatures will begin to drop, and it will begin to be overcast outside. That doesn't mean that the storm has arrived. In fact, if you look at the radar, you might find that the storm is still many, many miles to the north of us. But the climate of the storm is already beginning to be felt. So we don't stay in our short sleeves. We don't leave our windows rolled down on our vehicles. We don't take the kids out for a picnic because the actual storm has not arrived. What do? We begin to make adjustments. The storm's way out there, but we begin to make those adjustments, the necessary changes, the necessary preparations for when the storm does hit. Now, that's not a perfect analogy, but it helps us to understand what we need to do as Christians prior to the coming storm. Metaphorically speaking, the winds are beginning to shift in our world. The temperatures are beginning to drop, if you will. So the last time we were together, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we used that as our text. And we're going to do the same thing today. So we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, "This know also," Paul says, you really, really need to know this, guys, "that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lust." Now, there's our verse. "Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, it says the last days, that's the days leading up to the Lord's return, perilous times, difficult, trying, dangerous, times that are hard to bear, shall come. That's emphatic. Meaning it will come. It's not if, but when. It's going to come. And then the text proceeds to go on and list and describe a lot of traits and characteristics that describe the people that will be in the last days, okay? The tendencies and how people behave. Now, we don't have to get very creative to see that the stuff we see happening in our world right now, right before our very eyes, very much lines up with a lot of what we just read in this list. Now, we're not going to do an exhaustive study of each of these traits or characteristics. Rather, we're just going to highlight some. Last week, we discussed the lovers of their own selves, and we don't have to look very hard around us to see that that's very much the case today. Then we had an in-depth look at boasters and proud, and with that, we saw that in our age, many good people, moral people, Christian people, will begin to take the most arrogant and the most proud and the most boisterous people and applaud them and embrace them and hold them in high admiration. And the truth being known, if you read the Word of God, and you especially the words that are in red, the words of Jesus, this is no way we should do that. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." So folks, we got to be very careful that we're not making that mistake. God promotes and endorses and wants humility. And so not only should we possess humility in our life or do the best we can, but we need to embrace people, leaders or whoever, that exemplify that. Now today, again, we're not going to look at every trait, but rather we're going to single out one and drive home a couple of points with it, and it's the one we read in verse 7. It says, "Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice those two words, ever learning. That means continual learning. There's never been an age that fits this description more than the age we live in. From the time we open our eyes in the morning till we close them and sleep at night, it's a constant barrage of information in our world. Unless, of course, we take steps to make that not happen. From 24-hour news channels on our TVs and radios, to the devices that we carry in our pockets and in our purses, to the PCs and the tablets that lay on our desk, it's information, information, information. We are ever learning. Now, that phrase, ever learning, doesn't necessarily mean that we're learning in a classroom. There are many other ways to learn. In fact, most of us get past the classroom at a very young age, do we not? I mean, in our 20s at least. And so, but that doesn't mean we're not ever learning. So we're going to address in the message today, we're not going to talk about the education system and the indoctrinating of our young people, and that's a very real subject that needs to be addressed. But we're just going to talk about ever learning from the sense of the continual intake of information. We're being fed information continually, whether we realize it or not. We may not have any desire for the information. We may not have, may not even realize that the information is being fed us, but we're getting it anyway. We're learning as we go, whether we realize it or not. Because it's the natural result of words being thrown at us, be it audibly or in print, and us having eyes and ears that pick up those words, pick up that information, and carries it to our brains, that's learning. Ever learning. The words Paul uses here is a very good description of what we have, the age we live in. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that learning itself is not a bad thing. In fact, it can be very helpful in our lives if we learn. There's a place for education. There's a place for self-help. There's a place for training. There's a place for honing our skills and sharpening our mind and such. But our text here explains that there will come a time when people will be ever learning, but never able to come to the truth. In other words, in spite of the constant barrage of information and taking that stuff in, it doesn't bring about good. It does not accomplish anything positive in our life and make our lives better. But what are we missing out on? It's not able to give us the truth. We're learning, but we're not getting truth. So what does that mean? We're learning things that aren't true. Here's what too many people fail to realize. The multiplication of information would be great if it were all true. It'd be fantastic if it were all true. But the sad fact is the multiplication of information means the multiplication of falsehoods. More words equals more lies on every level. It would be, very well would be great if we knew all the time which one was false and which one was true. Folks, in today's terms, there's no measuring stick, no way to know, but it very well could be that half the information out there is false. We don't know, especially if the source of that information has no accountability. And by the way, as I preach this, somebody might say, well, you're giving us your spin. I have accountability. The book, right here. So everything that I say, if it's not in line with the book, I would love for you to approach me in the right manner and tell me, and then we'll revisit that. So there is accountability. But in many places where we're getting information, there's no accountability. And the problem lies in the fact that many times we listen to information and we just take it as truth. And that's why we as Christians need to understand the importance of a continual exposure to truth, which is the Word of God. Why? Because this is absolute truth. It's proven to be truth, okay? John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus was saying these words, and he was speaking to the Father about his disciples, which would take in all of us, okay? He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's saying, make them holy, make them separate, make them different. Separate and different from what? The world. He's saying, God, Father, make them different from the rest of the world. And by what means is he asking the Father to do it? By his word, which is truth. Thy word is truth. If you and I have a steady stream of the world screaming falsehoods at us, how are we going to keep from being duped by those falsehoods? By having a steady diet of truth. If you find a stick laying on the ground and it looks really straight, How do you know it's straight? You know it's straight by holding it up to a stick that has been proven to be straight. And you'll see the bow in it, or you'll see the little crook in it. That's what we do. We should measure everything, all truth, as upside the Word of God. That's the measuring stick. That's what our problem is today in many ways. There's so much information out there, and we're not able, or we don't take time to discern the truth. And so much out there will have enough truth to it that it draws us in and it gains our interest. And then, if we don't take it and measure it upside the ultimate fact checker, okay, you hear a lot about fact checking today. Here's the ultimate fact checker. If we don't measure it besides this, we might be duped. It won't be long, folks, if we listen to little lies and we are fooled by the little lies. It won't be very long before we're taken in big lies and we're fooled by them. It's been shown time and time throughout history. Now, as mature believers, mature adults, mostly it's going to be little subtle falsehoods smaller falsehoods that get by us because we're mature. We would see the big ones, right? But if we begin to get enough of the small falsehoods, it shapes our mind to begin to take in the brazen, heavier falsehoods. So we need to do everything we can to measure the information we're taking in by Scripture. Now let me show you a reoccurring theme that we find in the Scripture. The first one comes out of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, and it says, put on the new man. I want you to notice one particular word, which is renewed. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, what is it saying that we need to be renewed in? Knowledge, okay? Not just any knowledge, but knowledge of the that comes from our Creator. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, and be renewed, same word, in the spirit of your mind. God's Word will renew us in the spirit of our mind. Now, what does that mean, spirit of our mind? It's speaking of our mental disposition. It's so important to understand this, folks. This is talking about you and I maintaining a good mental disposition. In other words, a good quality way of thinking. I'll be honest with you, friends. I encounter people, and you probably do as well, that are good people. Many of them Christian people. But they get the craziest stinking notions in their heads. And I think, where's that coming from? It's not coming from God. God doesn't have any crazy ideas. So where's it coming from? It's coming from the world's rhetoric, a steady diet of the world's rhetoric. And it has this good person thinking like a crazy person. On the other hand, you and I know people that hold the same values as that other person, hold to the same basic tenets as they do, but they always think very clearly and very wisely. They have a strong and very stable mental disposition. The spirit of their mind is quality and solid and not easily moved. So it's all about renewing the spirit of our mind. Here's another one, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, this verse is a doozy. Always has been. Be not conformed to this world. What's it saying? In other words, don't let the world shape you. Don't let the lies of this world, don't let the ideologies of this world, don't let the ways of this world change you into a person that God doesn't want you to be. How do we keep that from happening? By letting God transform us with His Word. Letting God continually renew our minds. Now, what's the product of a renewed mind? We find it there at the end of that verse. That which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Folks, when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of it, we want to have a mind and a disposition and a thought life based on God's truth that will cause us to produce the kind of character and actions that please God and are acceptable to Him. Good and perfect things. So let's get right down to the nuts and the bolts of it really quickly. We just have three good points here. We can't do anything about the fact that we live in the information age. The time of ever learning, as the Apostle Paul calls it here in our text. But there are steps that you and I can take that will help us as Christians. Christians who are awaiting the return of our Lord, by the way. Help us to be what we're supposed to be and think the way we're supposed to think and believe the way we're supposed to believe, okay? First of all, they're very simple steps. We can limit the intake of the world's information. Now, we have to take action to do that. It doesn't just happen. You walk around in this world without doing anything, the volume's up all the time. It's blaring at you, okay? So we have to turn down the noise. We have to limit the rhetoric. We have to forego all the information coming from the talking heads. And if you're one of those people, and some people are, that has to have some noise in the room, then replace that noise with something wholesome, something that's helpful, something that doesn't mess your mind up. You say, well, what do you suggest? My best recommendation is Gilligan's Island. It'd be better content than CNN or Fox News, I can tell you that, because you know going in, it's fake. You don't ginger come off a sunken ship and got hair did like that, that's fake, okay? You know going in. Find something. If you got to have some noise, find some noise that won't harm your thinking and your disposition. Number two, increase our input of what we know is true. We know this book is true, folks. Take it in. Renew your mind. Take in enough of this book to keep the spirit of your mind the way God wants it to be. Balanced, logical, reasonable, sound, and stable. Have you ever known someone that every time you run into them, there's another big story that has them stirred up and on the edge? I think we all have read it. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that every little old world issue has me stirred up. And we don't have to be. God is not the source of that sort of thing. God is not the source of an unstable, agitated mind. So if we have an unstable, agitated mind, where are we getting it? Again, from the world. Now, this last one is really a big one, but it's so very simple. First of all, we said we decrease the intake of the world's information. Secondly, we increase the intake of God's truth. And here's the very profound one, but so very simple. Think. People don't think anymore. You've heard me say it before, but I do what reading I do. I do a lot of reading. But I would rather read the old timers, those theologians that have been dead 100, 200 years. Steady diet of that stuff. I love it. Why? Because they were before the age of ever learning. There was no media. There were no screens. They had to think. They got along with God and they thought. And the deepest theological information that's out there right now comes from those people. And not to say that they're not great theologians today, okay? And not to say that I limit myself only to the old guys. But those guys had to think. We don't think anymore. People think they're thinking, and then they realize that what they thought was just what somebody else told them to think. So their thinking was wrong. And their thoughts were wrong. Thinking is almost non-existent today. Critical thinking is almost non-existent. What is critical thinking? It involves several things. First of all, consideration of what we've observed. We're walking through this world. We're seeing all kinds of stuff happening around us. And we should pay attention. Consider those things. Don't consider them with some talking head in your ear telling you how to consider them. Consider them with your own mind. You're a spirit-led person. You're a born-again Christian. Consider it with your own thinking. Analysis of the facts. It's hard sometimes to find out what the facts are, but we need to do the best we can to know what the facts are and analyze those facts, dissecting the evidence and doing all of this with an unbiased mind. And that's where we're messed up today, folks, because 99% of us have a biased mind going in and wherever we're getting the information. It's already slanted. It's already been slanted by the talking heads who are telling us what to think. And so you go into that information with already with a biased mind, and you're never going to get the truth. You're not going to think clearly yet. And then you make a judgment. After that observation, that consideration, that analysis of the facts, then you can make a judgment. And folks, 99.9% of the time, because we're spirit-led people, if we will take time to think, we'll come out with the right judgment. Who's doing that these days? Who's thinking these days? Who's taking time? Very few people. Why? Because we're not taught to think. Kids are not even taught to think in school. They're taught to believe what they're told to believe. You know what we'd rather do? We'd rather turn on a news channel or a radio talk show host and let them tell us how to think. See, we're too lazy to think so often. We'd rather listen to Hollywood or Washington or our favorite commentator or influencer or whatever, whoever's got the loudest voice. That's where we want to go, and just let them tell us how to think. The Bible is telling us, and I'm done. The Bible is telling us here that there's coming a time, a very perilous time, when people will be ruled by deception. They will be ever learning, as our text says, but never able, never, ever, ever, ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How do you think that so much of what the Antichrist gets accomplished during the tribulation period, how does he get that accomplished without having a bunch of puppets that don't know how to think? They just listen to his rhetoric and his agenda and whoever is with him. That's the way it happens, folks. People led to the slaughter, the mark of the beast, all those various things that begin to take place during the tribulation period. It has to be because people are deceived and they're duped. Why? Because they didn't have any measure of the truth. They didn't think things out. Now, we're not going to deal with the tribulation. As Christians, we're going to be out of here. But you know what? Just as this verse is telling us, in the last days, perilous times will come, and there will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The days we live in that are prior to the storm, we start feeling the north wind, and it gets overcast, and then a chill comes over us spiritually. That's the time to look around, and there's ever learning, and no one's able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No one except us, folks. It's our choice. I'm going to ask you to stand. That's a lot to take in, folks, but I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, if you and I will make a commitment, saying, God, help me carry out these three steps. Help me limit my intake of the world. Help me to increase my intake of the truth. And help me, Lord God, to think clearly. You and I will come out the other side of this ever-learning generation that we're in better shape. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart. You come.